evidently amazing it was from the viewpoint of its architecture. And Jesus told them that there would not be one stone left upon another that would not be thrown down. In other words, he said, this temple is going to be destroyed. Later on, the Bible tells us that his disciples came to him and said, when shall these things be? That's verse 4. And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? So we actually have two questions. And that is, when and what? When shall these things be? That is, when will the temple be destroyed? And what shall be the sign of all these things when they're fulfilled? So we're trying to answer these two questions, not because they haven't been answered, but because we're trying to understand the answer that Jesus gave. Now in verses 5 through 13, Jesus told them all the things that they would experience, all the things that would happen to them as apostles and as disciples. He then told of what would happen to the nation of Israel, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple by an invading force. This invading force was Titus, who came in 70 A.D., actually 70-68, and besieged the city of Jerusalem and finally advanced into the inner part of it and destroyed the temple. Now, as we look this morning, we're still answering the question, when and what? If you will look at the word of God, you'll see in verse 24, in verse 23, that Jesus gave the warning, but take heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. In other words, I have foretold the things that are going to happen to the city. I foretold you the things that are going to happen to you personally. I foretold you the things that are going to happen to the temple. These are the things that you're going to see. These are the things you're going to experience. Remember that this is shortly after, that this is shortly before the crucifixion of Christ. So we're looking at about 33 A.D., or rather 30, yes, A.D., and so 35 more years is going to make 70. So we're looking at these things happening about 35 years later from the time that Jesus has spoken them. Now, verse 24 tells us, but in those days after that tribulation. So now we're looking at things that are not immediately, and even though that term is used in the book of Matthew, we're looking at the next series of events that are going to be the signs of his coming. Now, I know that isn't mentioned in Mark, but it is mentioned in Matthew, and it is mentioned in Luke. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And all of these events seem to be connected to the end of the world and the coming of Christ. What we want to know is this. What will tell us that Jesus Christ is going to appear very shortly? Now, that's the thing we're looking at. And I know that we've all been taught that we're looking for the return of Christ at any minute. And I think that's a legitimate statement. But I think we have to also look at the revelation that's given us. And the reason I say that that could happen at any time is because we oftentimes simply are not aware of the signs that are going on around us. That is, things could happen that we wouldn't notice because we're living here, as the Bible says, in the days of Noah. But let's look at these things. But in those days after that tribulation, that is, the stressful times of the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the Jewish people over all the earth. Now what's going to happen? What will be the next thing that will be so unusual that it can be called a sign? But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened. The idea, from what I can understand these verses to teach, is that the sun will begin to go out. Now that is a possibility. You know that the fuel that the sun is using is a mixture of chemicals and elements that they more or less feed off themselves. Can the sun consume itself and go out? Yes, it can. So we see the sun shall be darkened, and if the sun begins to go out, then the moon shall not give her light, since it is a reflection. So the sun will begin to diminish in its brightness, which means that it's going to become less and less bright, which is going to affect many, many things, since just a fraction of the intensity of the sunlight can affect not only us. Just increasing it by a couple of degrees would affect our lives so tremendously, it is unbelievable. So we know that this is a sign that is close to the destruction of the earth or the coming of Christ. Then the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now when you think of that word shaken, I know we think of things that are given really fast movement. But really, this word that's translated shaken means to move about, to move to and fro. So really what you're looking at is the movement of the heavens. Stars are going to be falling. The sun itself evidently is going to be moving some. All the things that are in the earth or that are in the heavens are going to be moving about. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 21, and there's a statement that gives us a little more information. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down the Gentiles. Now notice the last phrase. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now that's our time right now. From the destruction of the temple, when all of the temple services ended, until Jesus comes again is the time of the Gentiles. It's when we're in charge of the institutional witness through what we are involved in today, and that is the New Testament church. Now look at verse 25. And there shall be signs. If you wonder what that word sign means, it's the same word that we get the term that describes the sailors as they give the give signs to one another from ship to ship. You know, they have two flags, one in each hand, and they move them about, put them in certain positions. And this is a message to other sailors. And because of that, this is what that's used there is a literal translation of this. And so it's a sign, it's a signal, but it's more than just some obscure thing. It's a message more than it is just a sign, okay? It isn't just somebody doing something that nobody can understand. It has a message with it. It is an activity that says something. And so when you're talking about a sign, it would be more like a sign that you see on the side of the road that says a certain town 25 miles ahead or during the construction for the next 12 miles. It isn't just something sticking up and you say, I wonder what that is. That's not what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about something that can be seen and something that can be interpreted. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. See how it has affected humanity. And the sea and the waves roaring. Does not the movement of the moon create tides as best we can tell? So men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, what are these signs? What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about when and what. And you say, but aren't there other things that are going to be going on? Absolutely. Read the book of Revelation and you're going to see the man of sin. But that's not answering the question that these people ask. When we try to mix all that together, then we get confusion. You say, well, what is it like to be on earth? What's the political circumstances? What's the economic circumstances? Well, this tells us that men's hearts will be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Why? Because the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So we're talking about something that cannot be misinterpreted. Now, you say, do you think these things have occurred? No. But if I tell you they haven't, then you're going to say, then we know that Jesus isn't going to come until we see these things happening. And you're exactly right. So you don't have to come next Sunday, because I'm going to tell you next Sunday more information about this business of expecting our... It's my own personal opinion that well-informed, mature Christians are going to be able to say, from looking at the signs, and they're going to be so obvious and so plain that they cannot be misunderstood, that mature, well-informed Christians are going to be able to say, in 3 more years, 5 more years, 7.5 more years, whatever, very brief period of time, the Lord's coming. He said, well, I haven't heard anyone say that, because the Bible says you won't know the day or the hour. Well, that's the problem. People, we will not know the day or the hour, but listen to me, we will know the season. We will know the season. I don't know the day or the hour. Even the angels that are going to come and gather the elect from the four winds of the earth, they don't know the day nor the hour, but they know the season. Now, I use this often as an illustration. If you get tired of it, you'll have to give me something better, because I don't know of a better illustration. The fact that we can all say, when will the temperature in Arkansas, in this Saline County or whatever, when will it reach 100 degrees? Now, I don't know about Celsius. I'm talking Fahrenheit, okay? The only thing I know about meters and all that is that we got a gas meter, okay? Measuring stuff, forget it. If it's not in inches, I'm not going to even guess. When do you think the temperature will reach 100 here in this state, in this county? You say, well, I'd say December the 24th. No, you wouldn't. You would say, I'm going to say July the 20th, August the 1st. You're going to narrow it down to a season when the temperature reaches that stage. So we can know the season. But we don't know the day nor the hour, and that is why the Lord says, watch and pray. Now, I hope that I'm going to have to tell you some things as I've studied this that are probably not going to be what you thought. And I hope it doesn't in any way shake your faith or cause you to think of me as a heretic. Because studying this and answering these questions, we have to conclude, along with many other scriptures that I'll give you next Sunday, we have to conclude that God's people who are well-informed, mature Christians are going to be able to say, we don't know the day and the hour, but we know that Christ is soon coming because we've seen these signs. We haven't seen these signs yet. That we know of, okay? That we know of. But it seems that there's such an intensity that we will know that these are the signs that Jesus gave to us. Now, in verse 27, this is back in the book of Mark, chapter 13. Verse 27 says, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Now, wait just a minute. Let's look. What's happening? Well, the sun's going out. The moon doesn't shine. There are powers in the earth that are being shaken or moved about. Men's hearts are failing them because of frightening circumstances. People are literally dropping because of heart attacks. What's going to happen in this very next thing? And then, verse 27, shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. What is stated here is that at a moment during this time of the signs that have to do with the moon, the stars, the shaking of the heavens, so frightful that people's hearts are failing them. At this time, in this setting, the angels will come forth and they'll gather the elect of God from all of the places on earth and from heaven itself. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We read these things many times. We rejoice in them. But I think sometimes we just don't pay attention. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, people that are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus has died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And so these angels are gathering the people that are asleep in Jesus. They're gathering the people that are alive on earth during this time of great distress. And I know you're thinking, but Brother Penn, I've been told that before there's any trouble on the earth, before the Antichrist has any power, before there are any geographic or astrological signs of, and there's any discomfort, Jesus is going to come and rapture out all of his saints. It's called the pre-tribulation wrath, or pre-tribulation second coming. But this doesn't sound like it, does it? It sounds like, now, if we talk about the tribulation being 7 years or 3.5 years and 3.5 years, but what it does sound like is this, that before the angels come and gather the elect out of the four corners of the earth and joins them together, now you'll notice what it says, joins them together with to the uttermost part of heaven. He's going to gather the elect out of heaven, gather the elect out of earth. Now, it sounds as though those people on earth that he gathers at that time are going to have experienced some of the unstable conditions that are signs prior to the coming of Christ. Does it not sound that way to you? Let me ask you this. Do you believe that God's people right now are so wonderful, so dedicated, so filled with love for God, so busy in the vineyard of God, that we deserve literally to leave before there's any pain or suffering or hunger or disappointment or persecution? Do you believe that's what we deserve as a people? I think we're going to be on the earth when Jesus comes again, and we're going to see some of these events. May not be the great tribulation we talk about, but there will be some pre-tribulation discomfort, unhappiness, uncertainty, fright. There's a lot of it's going to be going on before the Lord takes his people from the heavens and unites them with his people in heaven. That's what the Bible seems to teach. Look at Matthew chapter 24. And I don't mean to drag you all over the scriptures in order to just simply impress you, but look, Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. I'm sorry, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, whatever that sign is. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather, now notice, to gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Well, we're reading exactly the same event as it's described by Matthew. What's going to happen? What are the signs? Well, he tells them all the things that will happen to them as disciples, and particularly because they are Jewish. And you live in Judea. And these are the things that you're going to see. The earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars, false Christ, people who claim to be sent by Christ that weren't sent by Christ. And then when you hear the marching armies, when you hear the pounding of the drum to keep the army in step, don't go back to the house for any reason. Just leave as fast as you can, because you need to escape this circumstance. If you're living outside of Judea and you know what's going to happen, don't go back home again. If you're living in some other part of the world, if you're up on the housetop, don't go back down the inner ladder and retrieve your coat. Just leave it and flee. If you're out in the field working, just flee. Okay? And then you're going to be brought before councils, talking to the apostles. Don't think about what you're going to say, because I'm going to give you what to say. Why? Because the gift of prophecy will be intact, because this will happen after the day of Pentecost. And what you say and what you respond to when questioned, as you are taken all over the world, this witness shall be taken all over the world, you'll be saying things that may be included in canon or in Scripture. So don't premeditate. Let the Spirit guide you and lead. That's not talking about me and you. It's talking about those people who lived then, who were going to write Scripture. Okay? You say, I'm going to be put to death tomorrow, but the Bible tells me not to think about what to say. No, he's not talking to you, okay? He's talking to Peter and James and John, the apostles particularly, because they would have the gift of prophecy, since it's going to occur after Pentecost, when there'll be some 8 or 9 gifts in force that will give them the power to do the things that the Lord's talking about. But those gifts have been done away by the completion or canonization of this word. So don't you depend on that, because you're not going to get it, okay? Now, what is a sign of the sign, okay? Now learn a parable of the fig tree. In other words, tell us what's going to happen just before you return. Well, here's what's going to happen. But what will be a sign of this about to happen? Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Now that's the object used in this parable. And parables are always believable. They always have to do with something that's happening around the house, out in the field, something that is believable and occurs all the time. Parables are never spoken about things that are so out of character that they would be unusual. Fig trees blooming, that's a very common thing in Judea. And they put forth their new branches, and these new branches are the ones that bloom and bear fruit. It's like many things. For instance, blackberries. They put out a cane, doesn't make any fruit. The next year, that's the cane that bears fruit. And you might as well cut it down after it's borne its fruit, because it's not going to have any more blackberries on it ever again. Well, the fig tree puts forth its branch. Then it leafs out, or rather blooms and then leafs out, and that's what makes the fig. So this is a very common, not extraordinary, not unusual, happens every season. Don't, you know, so get that in your mind. Now learn a parable that's based on what? Based on the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender, putteth forth leaves, you know that what? Summer's near. Why? Because this is the last tree that bears fruit that does this. So you knew when the fig tree bloomed, when it began to put on fruit, hey, spring's over, summer's here. So ye in like manner. Here is the lesson of the fig tree. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass. Now what have we just studied? Well, with destruction of Jerusalem, scattering of the Jews. But then that's happened 2,000 years ago, approximately. So what are we talking about when you see these things come to pass? Well, the things that have just been written. And what has just been written? What has just been stated? Sun going out, moon fading, stars falling, the heavens being shaken, that is, moved about, sort of like chess appliances on the chessboard. When you see these things in regard to my coming, it's as though you were looking at a fig tree blooming, setting its fruit, you know summer's nigh. Now here's something I'll have to deeply apologize to you for, because doesn't say anything about the regathering of Israel, does it? I'm sorry. It doesn't say the sign is the regathering of Israel, and we've been saying those things for a long period of time. When you see The budding of the fig tree is the regathering of Israel. But look at it, folk. Is that what this says? It says, in like manner, when you see these things. What things? Well, it has to be the signs in heaven, does it not? When you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is, what is that it? Many translators say, he is nigh even at the doors. It's a rather extraordinary thing, isn't it? I don't want you to take me to court and sue me as a heretic, okay? I know you're thinking right now about business meeting. We'll deal with Brother Penn then, okay? Let me show you something. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Now let's just start at chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly, that is totally and completely, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Hey, that's what we believe. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, do you see that? That day, you're not in darkness. The thief will come to the people who are in darkness, but you're not in darkness. Am I reading it wrong? Can I get a witness? But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. What's that sound like to you? You think we'll have some idea when the Lord's coming back? Why? Because we're watching the signs. And what is those things that when you see these, I'm going to tell you what, when they say, you know, brethren, the sun's going out and the moon is not giving much light. You know what? You're getting ready to go to heaven if you're saved, okay? I'm talking real soon, okay? Now, verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Generation is race of people. The Lord's giving two personal assurances to these men to whom he's speaking. Number one, Israel will not be destroyed in all this, okay? Israel as a nation of people will not cease to exist. Okay? And they haven't, have they? They were scattered. They've been regathered. The nation of Israel will not cease to exist. And the word that's translated generation here is oftentimes translated race. Okay? Descendants. Notice verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away. What has he just said? He just said they would, didn't he? Heaven and earth shall pass away. Didn't he just say what's going to happen to the heavens? They're going to be moved. Sun's going out. Moon's going to be moved. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My words shall not pass away. You can't depend on the earth, and you can't depend on the moon, can't depend on the sun, but what can you depend on? You can depend on my words. Do I believe that the Lord's coming is soon? Yes. But we have not seen the signs that say that the Antichrist, we have not seen the Antichrist on the throne. We have not seen the economic conditions that must exist before the Antichrist takes control of the earth. We have not seen the military. But we are seeing them. We are beginning to see the makings of a one world system, are we not? You say, well, you didn't read it there. No, I didn't read it there because that's not the questions that Jesus is answering, okay? What and when? That's what he's answering here. Will there be a one world government? Absolutely. Will there be an Antichrist? Absolutely. But that's another 10 sermons, okay? We've studied that in Revelation. Those of you who came, we've studied the whole book of Revelation twice. And we see that in the book of Revelation. It's just not here, not because Jesus didn't know it, but he's answering the questions that were asked him, what and when. And that's the answer that he gave. And I'm going to tell you, when will the Lord come? When you see these signs, and that is the budding of the fig tree, is these things, then you know, okay, that he is nigh, even at the door. Matthew put it this way, or Luke rather, lift up your heads because what? Your redemption draweth nigh, okay? So do what? Watch the heavens.